T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to
blast it. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
Here's what I hate about sports. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's excited about what's coming up tonight. You can leave it right about there. That's nice. Or is that good in the mix?
Is that good? All right.
Yeah, it's
look
good
at
in
me.
The mix.
It's like I'm bored often.
So, somebody here on the text line is just like, Chase Center sucks. First of all, you've never even walked in there unless you're building it. You don't know. You don't know that. You don't know that. It might be awesome. Let me tell you what's going to be really awesome. The team that moves in there with or without DeMarcus Cousins.
Up on the floor.
Happy New Year. You get two Happy New Years in this January of 2019. Forget about being the one seed. Forget about the 31-14 record. 37 games are all that matters between here and the end of the year. What is the record in the 37 games of DeMarcus Cousins going to look like for the Golden State Warriors? As a franchise, historically, they've been DeMarcus free. With the exception, I guess, of one other DeMarcus. I thought he was the only DeMarcus in the history. Someone's telling me that there was a DeMarcus Nelson. Okay, I missed that. Sorry. He's the only DeMarcus I've ever heard of who's played for the Golden State Warriors.
Relevant.
You know, there's all this talk about no big man has ever come back from this type of injury. A really good point made on the text line is no injured big man has ever had the luxury of returning to a league that is basically left the big man behind. What was that? It sounded like there was a picture in there. All right.
Maybe it's part of the video.
Oh, is it part of the video?
Probably.
We have to use video?
It's still like off of YouTube.
We're a radio station.
Sourceful. It doesn't matter. It happened. Shh. Continue, Damon Bruce. Continue.
You know what? I'll see you your bit of honey, and I'll raise you the real version that we were looking for last hour and got the karaoke version. We got it right now.
So much better.
Much better. The Warriors are 0-0. Season begins tonight. And you can already tell that they are so pumped up to do this. They want this so bad because they're all excited. They're giddy. They're walking around Staples Center, all laughing with each other, just completely giggling. Bob Myers, giddy. The team's got that electric feel to it before it even takes the court tonight. If that doesn't show you that the Clippers might be in trouble, nothing really will. For those of you just want to complain that DeMarcus is going to make this not work on some level, you're in one of three camps. You think that he's damaged goods, you think that his personality is so poisonous it's going to make a toxic locker room, or you believe in the theory that there is just too much talent and there's not enough ball for all the talent on this team, and that's going to lead to some bad feelings. Like, I just don't see that happening. I really don't. I think that these guys put this together to let the NBA know, if we want to rule the roost, there's very little you can do about it. Like, there's a lot of personal pride and professional pride going into this, and the guarantee is that we'll be overreacting to no matter what we see tonight. But for those of you who are really just completely anti-DeMarcus, I mean, look at who you used to give minutes to. Can we just real quick before we get you out to a little Steve Kerr replay? If you missed Steve Kerr, by the way, and he was phenomenal yesterday, and we're going to have some of that for you coming up in just a moment here on the Damon Bruce Show. But, you know, you want to know where you are, you got to understand where you've been. The 2004-2005 Warriors gave 40 games. It's basically they're given 37 games remaining in the regular season. So let's just round that up for conversation's sake. They're basically giving DeMarcus 40 regular season games here. All right, let's see what he looks like in 40 regular season games. Do you realize that in the 2004-05 season, you actually gave 12 basketball games to Nicholas Skitishvili? You did that. The Warriors did that. The Warriors, someone was like, I got an idea. Let's try out Skitishvili for 12 games. Let's do that. You know who you also played for 12 games? In the 2004-05 season, Luis Flores. Huh? That's right. Rutgers, the pride of Rutgers. What the? Who? Seriously, who? Isn't DeMarcus for 40 games a little bit more exciting than 16 games out of Ansu Cisse? Ansu Cisse. That actually happened. Ansu Cisse got 16 games for this team. That's 40 games right there. 12 games for Skitishvili, 16 games for Cisse, 12 more for Luis Flores, and you don't have 40 games for DeMarcus? What are you, high? What are you, out of your mind? He might not be who he used to, Damon. He could be 30% of who he used to. He's better than all those guys. He could be 50% of who he used to. He's 10 times better than Andres Biedrinch ever was. He could be 60% of who he used to. And he is, what, the Warriors' best center since Andrew Bogut in terms of just skill level? Andrew Bogut wasn't hopping around like a kangaroo, like a dingo. Andrew Bogut wasn't measured in, like, oh, man, that guy really gets off the ground. I don't think DeMarcus needs to jump for the Warriors this year for them to win a title. Flat-footed shots? I think he gets them off on guys. Damon, can I get an Ike Diagu shout-out? I believe you just did. Thank you very much, text line. Look, DeMarcus Cousins is a guy who's got so much to prove, and we're all going to have our eyes on the rust, on how he moves, on how he's going to project to the future. Everyone's going to watch what he does tonight. They're going to look at his line tonight, and they're going to be like, well, what's that in full 48 minutes, man? Go ahead and stretch that out. Let's look at the advanced metrics. We're going to so overreact to this. If he comes out and hits no shots, no big deal. I mean, it wouldn't be good, but it really isn't any big deal. If he comes out and what if he just knocks down like five threes? Just like, oh, boom, hi, how you doing? You know, I really wasn't banging on the low blocks while I was rehabbing, but I spent a lot of time out at the perimeter, and I have put at least 4 to 8 percentage points on my three. Oh, like what if that happens? What if that happens? No matter what he does, all that needs to happen is to not turn the ball over. If the Warriors don't turn the ball over, if they keep valuing possessions and their turnovers have been radically down from the norm over the last three games, and it's why these last three or four games have just been, the last two in particular, a 142 in Denver on Tuesday this week, 147 the next night on Wednesday. I mean, this team is just goofing around, having fun right now, and they get a weapon that everybody here has always wanted to pull into a fight and play with. I mean, really. They've never had anything like this. They've never had anything that is even remotely like DeMarcus to play with. And this team has done such a good job with the weapons it's been given. It's drafted. It's found. Whatever you want to say. However these weapons got here, it's one thing for the weapons to be in the war chest. It's another to know how to deploy them properly in battle. Like, what if you had the two greatest shooters of all time, like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, but you didn't embrace them shooting as often as they did? Give Mark Jackson credit. He saw the future before the future saw him. It's really amazing. Mark Jackson told you this was going to be the greatest shooting backcourt of all time. He was right about that. He was right about that. The real questions about the weapon that DeMarcus is how dull will this weapon be? How will they end up brandishing the weapon? When will they use the weapon during the fight? We know that they're going to use the weapon at the beginning of the fight. Will they be using it at the end? Will they be using it in crunch time minutes? One thing that you might not have considered. This is a radical idea. See if you can stay along. Catch up if you can.
All right.
If DeMarcus Cousins isn't playing well, sit him. Sit him. Oh, he's having trouble keeping up with these switches. Well, sit him down. Kevon Looney checks into the game. Bingo. There you go. All that did was win you a championship last year.
You got options.
DeMarcus is having an off night. Well, he is no longer the alpha and omega of the question, do we win tonight? It doesn't matter. DeMarcus's off night is now as concerning to me as Alphonso McKinney's off night. Like, the Warriors should be able to survive that. It's time now for 95.7 The Game's National Cash Contest. Your chance to win $1,000 right now by texting the code word SWING to 72881. That's S-W-I-N-G to 72881 right now for your shot to win a signing bonus here on 95.7 The Game. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Steve Kerr always applies himself whenever he stops on by for an interview. He did that yesterday. We have not had a chance to run any of it past you until right now. Who better to hear from than the man who's got to pull the puppet strings on all of this tonight, Golden State Warrior head coach, and I just mentioned to him to begin the conversation, you sure have been in the headlines an awful lot. There's a lot happening with your team right now. Steve, I think the last 48 hours of Warrior basketball have been more entertaining and interesting than every single aspect of the franchise between the seasons of 1994 and 2006. To what do you attribute these past two performances?
Well, I beg to differ. I would say that the winning championships was more interesting and entertaining, but maybe I'm just picking the wrong battle. What do you think?
Well, no, but they didn't win any championships between 1994 and 2006 is what I'm saying. The last 48 hours were more interesting than those seasons.
Oh, those 12 years?
Yes.
Yes. Kind of a random way to look at things, but interesting. Interesting perspective. You're probably right on that, by the way. The last 48 hours were highly entertaining. Loved the game against Denver. I mean, we came out with so much focus, and I thought we played both ends really well and competed. And I loved the effort last night to summon the energy when we needed it. And obviously, Steph went crazy and, you know, got us back in the game. And Kevin carried us for stretches of the game. But what a tough back-to-back. And to be able to summon that energy in the second half and pull out the win was a big deal for us.
I thought in Denver, it's the closest to 48 minutes we've seen in a real long time. That's like 44, 46 out of 48 dialed in minutes. And you score 142 points. Last night, you score a buck 47, and you were dialed in for about 25 of the 48 minutes. It's just amazing. Curry's flurry. That's an Arctic blast, I believe, at the end of the third quarter. It was amazing.
That was, I mean, we've all seen so many stretches from Steph over the last 5-6 years. That might have been the most amazing one, given the degree of difficulty of the shots. I think he made 6 straight threes, maybe it was 7. Each one seemed more difficult than the last one, and it was just, we were all looking at each other on the bench, just kind of in shock, like, really? Like, and you know, that takes a lot for Steph to surprise us because of what he's done over the years. But that was just incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And I think the crowd was just in shock, really.
The stagger screen at the top of the key over Anthony Davis, who's right in his eye. Like, that's maybe the signature shot of the year for him.
Yeah, that was nuts. You know, what makes Steph amazing. Well, he's amazing in a lot of ways, but you know, this was not a game that started out well for him. I mean, he picked up 3 early fouls. His focus was elsewhere. It was not at Oracle. And, you know, middle of the third quarter, he's having a very poor night. And then all it takes is one shot to go in and the dam breaks. And, you know, next thing you know, he finishes with 40-plus points and we win. I mean, it's incredible for him to be able to turn it around in game like that. That's a sign of just pure confidence.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. So in Denver, I thought it was the first time that we saw your 3 primary scorers, Curry, Clay, and KD, like all have the type of game that they went out and privately talked about when you had your Hamptons 5 meeting. Like that was as all pistons firing as I've seen from them. I think maybe in this entire run. Am I off base?
No, they were brilliant together. And, you know, let's be honest. So that's a game that only happens a handful of times in the entire season where everybody just happens to be making shots. But what I told the team last night, you know, before the Pelicans game was, you know, we're not going to be able to shoot like that every night, but let's see if we can focus like that. You know, let's see if we can create great shots for each other, take care of the ball, you know, look for great shots constantly and be in tune with the game plan. And that's the focus we're looking for. The shot making, you know, we're going to score enough generally, you know, to win a game if we're locked in defensively and we're taking care of the ball. But, you know, every once in a while, like that game in Denver, when you get everybody making shots, it's beautiful to watch. It's amazing.
Well, and, you know, they said it wasn't a statement game. Draymond did. KD said it wasn't a statement game, that you don't need to make statements to anyone. So if that's not a statement game, what would a statement game actually look like, Steve? You score 200 on somebody?
I think the point is when you've won championships, statement games are not required because I think Kevin said it. They already know who we are, you know, they know that we've won championships and we've played in a lot of important games. And Denver's a young, up-and-coming team. They've had a great season. You know, they're on the rise and they're fun to watch, fun to play against. But we don't have anything to prove. I think our guys know that. We just want to get better, and we're at a stage of the season where that's what's happening, and it's exciting because I think the last week has really been probably the best of the season for us in terms of just our connectedness and our momentum that we're building.
Steve Kerr joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show, and it feels like that you always show us a supernova version of how you're currently built right before you go and reinvent yourselves. And that's what's happening tomorrow night with the debut of DeMarcus Cousins, a reinvention of the Golden State Warriors. Or is it not that dramatic? It's an insertion of someone who is just going to make you better.
That's how I look at it. And I think that's how DeMarcus looks at it too. You know, he doesn't want to reinvent anything. And let's face it, we're the defending two-time defending champs. We shouldn't be reinventing ourselves. We should be adding to what we already have, and that's the plan. And DeMarcus is a proven all-star player. He's different from anything we've had here in the past, so he's going to add a different dimension. And it's going to be really fun to incorporate him and integrate him in the offense. And there will be some challenges, undoubtedly. It just doesn't happen. The beauty of the sport is that the pieces have to fit and work together. And so that doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take some time. But I think we're all really looking forward to the challenge, and we're all excited for DeMarcus that he's coming back.
How different will it be to integrate DeMarcus as it was to when you integrated KD back in 2016-17?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that KD was not coming off an injury. You know,
right.
that's the biggest issue here for DeMarcus, that you know, the Achilles is such a serious injury. You miss an entire season, an entire calendar year. It's going to take you a while to get your rhythm back. So we're expecting that, and you know, that's the challenge for him. You know, to take the next couple weeks and build his conditioning, build his rhythm, and then for us as a team, you know, to incorporate him and to figure out where he fits in. And you know, there will be some ups and downs throughout that process, but we've got to just maintain poise and keep pushing, no matter how much criticism and analyzation there is of, you know, each day that comes our way.
I think we asked you last week if you were inspired to shoot more from downtown by anything else happening in the NBA, and you said no, there's been no conscious choice or directive to shoot more threes. Having said that, last night was a historic night for the three-point shot. What you and the Pelicans did was amazing. Meanwhile, down in Houston, the Rockets are shooting an NBA record 70 threes. Steve, 70 threes in a game? Come on.
It's too many. I mean, I can't imagine our team shooting 70. I know we shoot a lot, but to me, The game is meant to be played across the court, you know, inside and out. I admire what Houston has put together. They've put together a really good team there. It's just bizarre to me, though, that that a team can shoot 73s. It almost doesn't seem like real basketball. And I know that a lot of teams around the league are choosing that that strategy, but we're not. You know, we're playing the same style we've played here for 5 years. We're trying to move the ball. We're trying to play with pace, and we're trying to get the best shot every time, wherever it comes. But that suits our personnel really well. So we've got to do what we've got to do, and everyone else has to do what they feel is best.
I thought the prettiest shot of the night last night, Steve, was that helium balloon floater that Andre let go to beat the buzzer at the end of the third quarter. That is just gorgeous.
Yeah, that was incredible. I haven't asked him yet if that was pure luck or if he actually intended to do that, because he got fouled. It looked like he just threw it up to draw the foul, and it dropped in. But I'm glad you asked about Andre, because I just feel like he is having a amazing season. Night in and night out, what he brings us. You know, we all watch the tape afterwards as coaches, you know, individually on our computers. And, you know, I can't tell you how many clips we all sort of look at and show each other and go, watch Andre here. You know, just little subtle things that he does. Sean Livingston as well. You know, little things that maybe go unnoticed because they don't involve stats, but just being in the right place or moving the ball.
Give an example, please. Yeah.
Amazing.
An example of the little thing.
You know, at the end of the second quarter last night, there's a transition play. It's sort of a three-on-three. Andre slows up and times it perfectly and throws a lob to Kevin. That was not an easy pass, but Kevin got behind the defense. It was almost like watching a great quarterback, you know, drop a lofted ball over the corner, you know, on the sideline to a wideout. It was just a perfectly placed pass. And then he came back down the next play and hit Kevin in the corner for a wide-open three that Kevin actually missed. It was just before the end of the first. But the ball hit him right in the chest, perfect shooting rhythm. And it came on a play where a lot of guys would have turned it over because they would have been trying to attack the rim. But Andre understands that if you attack, make a jump stop, and just see the play unfold behind you, there's a million opportunities that are there. And he understands all those concepts. So he's so fast and athletic, but the game comes so naturally to him that he slows things down and then just constantly makes great decisions. He's amazing. He really is.
Now, the Warriors have been amazing. We're so excited to see what tomorrow night looks like. Would you like to give away your entire game plan to us right now tomorrow night? Seriously, though, in minute restrictions, what are we looking at? What do you expect from DeMarcus tomorrow?
Well, I don't expect to play him longer than, you know, 4 or 5 minute stints. Now, how many of those stints there will be, we'll see. You know, we have to base it on a number of things. You know, how well he's playing could be one, how well we're playing, what's happening out on the floor. Do we need to go small? Do we have a certain matchup that we need? A lot of things are going to factor into it. But he'll start, obviously. He's an all-star player. He's going to be in the starting lineup. And, you know, we'll go for that first 4 or 5 minute burst, and then there will be a few more in there. And I would expect after a year's absence that he's going to, you know, he's going to take some time to get rhythm. But this is all part of the plan, and it's good to get that started tomorrow night.
And that was Steve Kerr yesterday talking about DeMarcus in terms of tomorrow night. Well, guess what? It has become, it is boogie night. Here it is. DeMarcus, what are you expecting to see out of yourself tonight?
Honestly, I'm just happy to be back on the floor. Like, outside of winning a basketball game, like, that's probably my only goal tonight. You know, go in, play hard, you know, get my feet underneath them. You know, and just really realize, like, this is, the last step of the process. Well, the rehab process. So, you know, it's been a long journey. I'm in the last phase of it. Like I said, I'm just extremely happy to be back on the floor.
I think it's been a long time since DeMarcus felt appreciative of being able to go out and play basketball. I bet he appreciates it now more than at any other point in time in the last 2 or 3 years of his career. And I hope he's reinvigorated. I hope this good feeling runs through this team for a very, very long time. And then I just hope they turn around and start killing every NBA team that they face. I'm ready for a little boogie tonight. We're going to have you out to Warriors Live at the top of the hour. But right now, she is the one and only Gianna Franco.
Now, back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
When you're trying to win an NBA championship, there's clearly plenty at stake for the team. There's so much at stake just personally for DeMarcus Cousins. I think that that helps him acclimate and find his own level in this talented roster as much as anything else. He's got an awful lot riding on the results of the next 37 regular season games and then whatever the postseason offers to the Warriors. And it feels like 16 wins should be expected in the postseason, and he can't be the guy that screws that up. That's for sure. I saw a column from Tom Ziller, who was writing about Boogie. Yeah, he was well on his way to a third All-NBA honor, and more importantly to him, his first taste of the playoffs when he tore his Achilles last year with the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans made a contract offer to him that he considered an insult, and that was enough to light the fuse of anger that became him signing with the Golden State Warriors. And by the way, that day was July 2nd, 2018. We will bring you back via Boogie Time Machine before the end of this hour to that moment when it actually happened on the air live. Needless to say, it caught me off guard. I had no expectations of that being a storyline that evening. So Boogie comes here and he signs for like a pauper salary compared to what he would have made anywhere else. He wants to be a part of a playoff team. He needs that in his legacy. And the experiment is officially beginning tonight, my friends. It's not just an experiment for the Warriors. They're going to be adding a fifth all-star caliber player to a starting lineup that really didn't need that. For DeMarcus, this is a guy whose rest of his career gets set up to succeed or in some way is sabotaged by the next 37 games plus playoff performance for the Golden State Warriors. This is event horizon for this guy. It really is. And we were going into a story earlier in the show today about how, really, there's never been a guy with this skill at this size who carries this weight in a season that's got this much riding on it. Like, this is a completely unique to 2018-19 NBA story as you're going to ever find. So the questions are simply, how does Boogie fit in with an offense that basically exists with too many options as it is? Well, those too many options have been pretty much getting along harmoniously lately. I'm not worried about it going forward. I don't think DeMarcus is going to show up trying to get shots off like Clay, like Steph, like KD. I could see how he would take over the mantle of quiet performances from Kevin Durant. Like, remember if you even can. You remember what Kevin Durant did in that Pelicans game? Remember? Or did you not even notice because your attention was elsewhere? Kevin Durant posted his 16th 30-point game, his sixth 30-point 10-rebound game of the season. He had 30 with a season-high 15 rebounds. You didn't even notice, did you? You certainly haven't talked about it. That came and went with zero fanfare. And that, by the way, a guy who sometimes loves that spotlight, sometimes loathes that spotlight. I think DeMarcus being here is going to make Durant happier because there might be less attention on him, less questions about him. And I don't know, Kevin has existed in the center of the spotlight, and I don't think he's done well there. On the periphery of the spotlight is where he is at his best.
He does better.
Yeah. It gets him in better headspace. It turns him into a savagely efficient player. So how Boogie fits in with an offense, like from a basketball perspective, This, by the way, is a really good problem to have. How do you think DeMarcus fits in with an offense that's already exploding? That's a much better problem than, like when yesterday Mark Spears told us that Chris Washburn used to hit the pipe during halftime.
He was on crack so bad that seconds before a halftime, he ran into the locker room, grabbed his stash and his pipe out of his locker, went into the bathroom stall in current Oracle.
During the game? Door,
and when George Karl was giving the team a speech, he was lighting up.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah.
That's serious.
It's on the record. He said it.
Did you ever see Mike Dunleavy do that?
No. Never saw anyone do that.
Yeah, Mike Dunleavy probably wasn't on that rock.
That's crazy.
Chris Washburn was. Again, that used to be your answer at the five. Now you got DeMarcus Cousins. Now, how he defends out there, as I said earlier, I've got the ultimate solution to if he's defending terribly when you start reaching the, hey, we can't have a terrible defensive possession. Like, this guy's getting absolutely cooked on pick and rolls. He is getting trapped out on an island against smaller players who are just going either around him or shooting over him. If there is a problem there, guess what you do with DeMarcus Cousins? You sit him on the bench. Duh. That's it. Well, what happens if you sit DeMarcus? Well, you still have four of the best players in the history of basketball out on the court, and the guy that you're going to replace him with is either, what, Kevon Looney, who's really coming into his own. I guess you can also replace him with, I don't know, Andre Iguodala. Like, just Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala being the big brothers barking at DeMarcus is going to get the best defensive effort, I think, out of this guy you've seen in his entire career. He was never on a team where defense mattered. Really. Go ahead and look out the history of the NBA. You usually don't see an awful lot of defense right until the postseason rolls around. Guess what season DeMarcus knows nothing about? The postseason. He's never been to defense matters portion of the NBA year. He's never crossed over to the game you're playing in is significant, not just for you and your totals and your career averages, but it's significant in terms of how we'll be talking about the NBA historically a few years from now. Are you a part of a championship? Yes or no? The potential melodrama that could be waiting there. Look, I don't know what could be waiting. He's a huge personality in a locker room that's got some other really big personalities in there. These personalities will either bring out the best of each other or the worst of each other. Hopefully somebody's going to be ready to put him in check. I bet you that somebody is Draymond Green. What is it going to be like the first time Draymond Green puts DeMarcus Cousins in timeout? That'll be interesting. We'll worry about that river when we get to it. The weird twist to all of this is that Cousins is really the only top free agent guaranteed to be switching teams next summer, and maybe this rehab is going so well and he's so happy that, you know what, he's going to do the unthinkable. And basketball is now what he cares about more than a paycheck. And DeMarcus, who has already got more money in his back pocket than he's going to be capable of spending in a lifetime, that this guy's going to stay with the Warriors. And instead of getting the salary he deserves, he's going to want the bite of the apple he thinks he's always been denied. And he's going to be able to get it here. All right, maybe that's wishful thinking. Maybe he's going to go to the top suitor. Well, okay, if you want top dollar, top suitor, let's see what you got, DeMarcus. You got 37 games to prove to the rest of the NBA that you are worth a max deal, top dollar. And if Cousins looks anything like the Cousins of old, he becomes instantly one of the most interesting free agents of the summer, based primarily on, like, the complexity of all the teams that are going to be trying to line up for his services.
He has a lot riding on this. I mean, think about it, proving himself within the team as a Warrior and as well as what his future is in the NBA. No pressure.
The only thing he's got riding on this is everything.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. That's all he's got riding on this. Just everything. He needs to show the NBA that the player he used to be is not a memory in some regards and is a distant memory in other regards. Can you imagine if the Warriors
who, like I said, have sharpened knives better than any other team in the sport. It's one thing to have these knives in the drawer. It's another thing to know how to use them. Can you imagine if the Golden State Warriors sharpened DeMarcus's knife so well as a player, and by the time the year ends, we're not talking about a bad attitude, about the cloud that hangs over him, about how disruptive he can be in the locker room with media members, with coaching staff, with just people who work around the team, ball boys. You know, he's good to ball boys. If DeMarcus can get rid of all the stuff that has always been labeled as baggage and be anywhere in the neighborhood of his career averages, it just he is going to be sought after ridiculously.
Especially if we see that chemistry with him and everyone else.
It's going to be so much fun. I've been waiting for this one. I've been waiting for just something different to talk about. And this is going to officially give us something different to talk about. DeMarcus is a cancer, Damon, and tonight marks the night of the beginning of the Warriors' breakup. Nacho. Is that Nacho right? Oh, no. You know, it's easy to type that with authority, but you don't know. You have absolutely no idea, in the way that I have no idea that this is going to be a success. But I think I have more evidence on my side to suggest that this is going to go smoothly than you have evidence on your side to suggest it's going to be bad. Like, you might have the chemistry set that says DeMarcus Cousins is a pain in the rear end, but you've never run your chemistry set in this lab of the Golden State Warriors. And the lab that the Warriors have should be enough to make your rinky-dink at-home chemistry set irrelevant. I think the Warriors got the right lab for this experiment to happen in. And if this team is just excited about this, going out and playing with joy,
do you feel joy? Say joy.
I'm worried for the rest of the NBA. Do you remember what it was like the night he signed? I do. I do. The amount of people who've been playing this stuff for me all weekend long, like, I had no idea that I did something special that evening. I wasn't doing anything other than reacting to the news that DeMarcus had just been signed by the Golden State Warriors. I want to put you in a time machine. I'm going to take you back to July 2nd, 2018. We were on the air on a Monday night before a holiday break. I didn't think anything particularly interesting was about to happen on the show. And then this happened.
Hold on. Wait a minute. We got breaking news. DeMarcus Cousins to the Warriors? Boogie Cousins to the Warriors? How's that even possible? Boogie Cousins to the Warriors? If that's true, may God have mercy on everybody's soul, and everything I ever said about him being a can't-win-with-him knucklehead, I take it all back, because this team gets people right. Are you effing serious?
The Warriors are now starting 5 All-Stars.
Oh, my God.
My mind is officially blown. There's not a lot of things that surprise me in sports. There's not a lot of things that make me go, wow, this is one of those things. Boogie, what's the price? Do we have any details on this contract?
From Woj, Cousins will sign a 1-year, $5.3 million deal with the Warriors.
Are you kidding me?
Do you feel joy? Say joy. That's what I am. I'm here to do.
Yeah.
Whatever I can.
Yeah. Whatever the plan was, scrap it.
I got a bug, man.
Hey, Damon, you know the Warriors are going to lead the league in technical fouls. Oh, yeah, I hope they get 100. I really do. I hope there's a night next year where the entire starting five is banned from playing a game because everyone's got a technical foul. I mean, they might as well make it hard on themselves somehow, some way, because the NBA is not going to be able to do it. Holy mackerel. Turn it up. Do what you want. Joe Link, if you're my boogeyman. Bob Myers, straight gangster.
Do you feel joy? Say joy.
A bug man. Unbelievable. I'm just texting Nick Wright. I'm like, you still with us? You okay?
Damon, this is the kind of thing, the kind of signing that I didn't know that I wanted him until he's here.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I don't fantasize about unicorns because I know I'll never get one. I don't think about things that I know are out of the realm of possibility. I don't waste my time pondering the impossible, which one might say, hey, dare to dream. But I'm just grounded in reality. And the reality was I never thought that Boogie Cousins was going to sign for the mid-level exception to come with the Golden State Warriors. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. It's just shocking. Shocking. So whether you're boogeymaning, whether you're going to boogie on Reggae Woman, whether you're going to just boogie your nights away, whether you're going to blame it on the boogie, just like Michael Jackson told you 2 years ago. Golden State Warriors, baby. Here we go. This is going to be a great song at the parade, by the way. Just crank it. Just crank. Turn it up more. Just blow out some speakers tonight. This is all I want to hear 4th of July. This is all I want to hear 4th of July. Just out of every window. Yeah, Wednesday. By the way, hey, LeBron, I'd officially like to welcome you to the West Coast. Uranus King, which lasted, well, since you were drafted in the East Coast, you were king of the Eastern Conference every year since 2010. You got 2 days here on the West Coast, brother. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed your 2 days, LeBron, because that's all you get, 48 hours, and then to hell with you.
It was less than 48 hours.
Right, so 10 years is like 40 hours. It was unbelievable. I didn't even know I didn't even know this was a possibility. It's like the first time you walk into the Spearman Rhino and you're seeing women there and you're like, I didn't know this was an option. I didn't know we had this on the world. What? This is more than I can process. Okay, could you turn this down just for a second? Because be ready to come back to it. Hey, Damon, why such excitement? Dude's not playing until January. Turn it up! Boogie's a warrior right now. You don't have to wait till January to enjoy it. It's happening right now. Boogie's a warrior tonight. Oh, my God. Would anyone even notice if I took the rest of the show off and we just left this playing over and over again? You can play this for the rest of the hour. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to. I'm not ashamed. We're going to take you up to the top of the hour because Warriors Live is right around the corner. This is one we've been waiting for a while. We didn't know exactly when it was going to come up on the schedule. It is tonight. That night I told you, you didn't have to wait much longer to enjoy Boogie. You can start enjoying him right now. You'll be able to start enjoying him tonight. Damon, your reaction, that goes down legendary. Bay Area Radio. Damon, I just got the chills here in this one again. Thank you very much. Love the show. Seriously, one of the great sound bites. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're very, very happy about all this. Damon, can I get a Donskoy? You know what? Yeah. Donskoy. There you go. Look at us filling requests, making people happy. Kissing
babies. Friday. Why not?
Yeah. Absolutely. This is a good time. Let's go to Henry in San Francisco. Henry, what are you expecting tonight?
Hey, Damon. I am so excited for tonight. I've been watching the Warriors all my life, and you know how many terrible centers there's been in the Warriors' history?
Yeah, pretty much most of them.
Adonal Foyle, DeBarkova. Is he like the best center free agent that the Warriors have ever had?
Well, look at it this way. Would you rather have DeMarcus coming off an Achilles or a perfectly healthy Patrick O'Brien? thank you very much for the call, Henry. It was wonderful to go down memory lane with you. Oh, my goodness. How many new eras have the Warriors created? Like, they're spoiling us. Like, we have at least three. I can see that easily. Like, the first era was the era of team ball, and all you need is the shooters in the backcourt, and you can force the defense to defend further out than everyone has ever defended further out. Like, the Warriors, they had their geometric revolution to the game of basketball, and that was part of that first era. The team formed the big three of Curry, Clay, and Draymond Green, and a championship was won. The second era was, you know, how do you make a 73-win team better? Well, you add Kevin Durant. And this is the era that we would still be currently living in right up until we tip off tonight. Like, Durant being added to the Warriors turned the big three into the core four with three bona fide scorers on the same team, plus a player who is like a hybrid of Dennis Rodman and Magic Johnson and Draymond Green. Now, the third era starts tonight. The big three. I don't even know if it's core four. It's just more four. It's just
more four.
More than we need. More than you ever asked for. More than Eric Dampier would have given you. More than Beadrinch would have given you. More than Patrick O'Brien was capable of. Damian Jones, shout out. This is going to be better than you, brother. It really is. This was a fun show today. Thanks so much. Alon, great job in for Albie producing today. Really appreciate it. You're our boogeyman wearing camouflage. Seriously.
Look
this
at
guy,
him grooving.
He's the only guy in San Francisco dressed like he's about to go sit in a duck blind and hunt pedestrians for the rest of the evening.
He's got some style.
I love you. That style, I love it. Is there any security tags on any of that? Because that's what I hear is real style.
No, you're right.
Elena, merci beaucoup, and c'est si bon. Thank you so very, very much. Damon, we've all got the Infinity Stones now. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
So, can I just snap my fingers and half you all go away? You're still alive. Gianna.
Damon.
Thank you so very much. What a fun week. Have a great weekend. By the way, I want to let you know, 7-1 is still alive. I like the Patriots to win in the ugly, nasty weather. Patriots-Saints Super Bowl. There we go. I'll talk to you Monday. Until then, remember, sports don't build character. Oh, chicken wings also reveal character. I'll be eating them at Hooters on Sunday morning with you. Come on down to the Hooters Campbell. We've got a gridiron gala. Have a great time. Thank you so much. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
He's gone.
He's back. Now he's gone. Guy named Jimmy Tatro goes, DeMarcus Cousins 2, man, F the Warriors. I'm still pissed that David Stern vetoed that Chris Paul trade back in 2011. yeah, you should be. That sucked. That sucked.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.